Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you and welcome one and all to program number 634 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we're featuring four 15-minute radio programs, beginning with the Bill Stern Sports Newsreel featuring his guest star Frankie Carl. This goes back to November 26th of 1948.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern speaking to you tonight from Dallas, Texas.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shapely Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shapely Man, the story's rare. Take his advice and you'll look nice. Your face will feel as cool as ice. With Colgate Shaves, you'll be a fan.
The 474th edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Featuring America's most famous collector of stories, radio's number one reporter in sports, Bill Stern. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're broadcasting tonight from Dallas, Texas. We're in Dallas to broadcast tomorrow's Texas Christian Southern Methodist football game. And our guest tonight is the popular orchestra leader and pianist, Frankie Carl. Before you meet Frankie Carl in person, here is Reel One, Profile of Two Famous Painters. Tonight, since we're broadcasting from Texas, I'd like to tell you a story that began in the South. In fact, it began when a famous man suddenly last April decided that he wanted to become a painter. Yet, strangely enough, this happened at a golf match. For you see, down at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia, last April, this particular man was watching the well-known golfers as they were playing the 18th green, when suddenly this man turned to Bobby Jones, the world-famous golfer, and he said,
Bobby, I'd like to try and paint something. You know, I've never painted a thing in my life. But if you could get me materials, I'd like to try to paint this scene around the 18th green.
Bobby Jones got those painting materials, and he gave them to this man who'd never painted before in his life. And this man did paint that scene around the 18th green at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. And despite the fact that this was the first time that this man had ever painted, he painted such a good picture that it became famous. So famous that his picture was hung in the American Art Galleries in New York City. Maybe you'd be interested in knowing who this man was. This man who'd never painted before, but who painted such a great scene of a golf tournament that his picture was hung in an important gallery in New York. His name was Dwight Eisenhower. But you know, speaking of painting and sports, let me tell you another story of a painter. A painter named Joe Gatto. Joe Gatto is one of America's greatest painters. So great that last week Life magazine devoted 6 pages to the incredible story of his life. Wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of the story. Let's go back to the beginning. Joe Gatto was born on the Lower East Side of New York City. He was poor. He went to public school. Joe didn't like public school. He wanted to quit. He wanted to become a prize fighter. However, one day, just as Joe Gatto was about to quit school, a distinguished man came to visit that school. This man took Joe aside and he said,
Joe, I hear you're going to quit school to become a prize fighter. Well, I happen to see some of your drawings on the blackboard. Joe, you've got a future as an artist. Don't try to be a prize fighter. Anyone who can draw the way you can should be an artist.
So Joe took this man's advice. He started to paint, but he couldn't sell any of his paintings. And because he couldn't sell his paintings, he stopped painting. And then he became a prize fighter. He won his first fight, his second, his third, his fourth, his fifth, his sixth, his seventh, his eighth. But then, suddenly he began to lose. He lost one fight after another. Until one night, Joe Gatto was lying in bed when a voice came back to him. A voice that said,
Don't try to be a prize fighter. Anyone who can draw the way you can should be an artist.
That night, Joe started to paint again. This time he was serious, and he became a great painter. He sold his paintings to famous people. People like Nelson Rockefeller, William Randolph Hearst, John Steinbeck. Life magazine wrote his life up. His paintings are now hung in the New York Museum of American Art. But that's not quite the end of the story. Perhaps you'd like to know who this man was who told Joe to give up boxing and to become a painter. Strangely enough, that man who told Joe to give up boxing became a boxer himself. Yeah, that man became a boxer. In fact, this man lost an eye in a boxing match. This man who advised Joe to take up painting and to stop boxing, and yet he became a boxer himself, losing an eye in a boxing match, is not remembered as a boxer. Nope. But he is remembered as the 26th president of the United States. But his name is Theodore Roosevelt. Portrait of a painter, a president, and a prediction. Reel 2. Tonight we're in Dallas, Texas, getting ready to broadcast tomorrow's TCU-SMU football game. But wherever you are, I'll bet you have this shaving problem. Maybe your beard is tough like mine or soft as fuzz. Maybe your skin is walrus tough or tender as a baby's. Whatever shaving problem you face, you'll find the answer is Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. Try it on this swell proposition. There's $1 cash as Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. You'll see Colgate Brushless make shaving really clean, smooth, and comfortable. Does away with razor drag and scrape. And here's why.
Because it's light and fine-textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. No matting down, no clogging. Your razor doesn't skip or scrape when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
That light, fine texture makes Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream a super beard softener. You've never seen whiskers come off so slick or enjoyed a shave so smooth and comfortable. And Colgate Brushless is economical to use. It spreads easier and further. Try it. Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless tomorrow. Use it a week. If you're not completely sold that it's the shave of shaves, just return that carton top to Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey. And you'll get your dollar back, but quick. Now, is that a deal? Remember, there's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Reel 3. Colgate's camera close-up of Texas. Here in Dallas, Texas, from where we're broadcasting tonight, a big favorite is a man who's in New York. He's the famous orchestra leader, Frankie Carl. Frankie Carl needs no introduction. He's now starring with his famous orchestra on the stage of the Strand Theater on Broadway in New York, along with the picture Fighter Squadron. Hence, in order that you might hear Frankie Carl, this is Bill Stern in Dallas, Texas, switching you to Frankie Carl's dressing room backstage at the Strand Theater in New York City.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be on your sports show because once I wanted to be a prize fighter. You see, I am a would-be fighter who turned out to be a piano player. But being a musician, I was very much interested in the story you told last week. For last week, you picked out the year 1925, a year in which you said there were more great football players than any other year. You named Red Grange of Illinois, Benny Friedman of Michigan, the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame, and others as having all played that year. You told their stories using their college songs as a background. Well, that story last week gave me an idea. This week, why don't you pick out another year and do a story about the great songs that were written in that year? Songs that had a sports background. I think you'll find some amazing stories. How's about it, Bill? Can you do it? This is Frankie Carl in New York, returning you to Bill Stern in Dallas, Texas.
Thank you, Frankie. I think I can. At least I'll try. And for the year that you suggest, I'm going to pick out the year of 1910. And the reason I'm picking that year of 1910 is because in 1910, I think there were more great songs written that year with athletic backgrounds than any year that I know of. For instance, Frankie, do you remember a song called...
Let me call you, sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Ah, what fraternity house on a football weekend hasn't echoed to the strains of that beautiful song? A song that was written for a great baseball star making a personal appearance in vaudeville. The immortal, the one and only Christy Mathewson. But wait. There's another famous song of that same year in 1910. But that was the year that another great star, Eddie Leonard, wrote a song called
Ida, sweet as apple cider.
Yeah, Eddie Leonard, who also wanted to be a ball player, wrote that song. It made him a star, but as the years went on, his fame faded until finally he was forgotten. And then one day, not so long ago, he went back to New York, back to the old hotel empire, the hotel where he'd scored his greatest success. He registered in his old room. Then he went to bed. And that's where they found him the next morning. In bed. Dead. Ah, but there's an even stranger story of a song of that year in 1910. But that same year, a baseball song was sweeping the country. A song that's called Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the club.
Ah, the entire country loved this song. It became America's greatest baseball song. And yet the man who wrote that famous baseball song had never seen a baseball game. Yeah, 1910 was a year of really great athletic songs. But this year in 1910 also gave us the Maine Stein song.
Fill the steins to dear old Maine. Shout till the rafters ring.
That song written for the University of Maine football team. Yeah, a song for the University of Maine. And yet it never became famous until it was finally sung by Rudy Vallee, a Yale man. You know, that's almost as strange as the story behind Anchors Away.
Send Navy down the field. Sail set to the sky.
Ah, here's another song in 1910. But the strangest part of this story is that the man who wrote this great Navy song served in the Army. Yep, the songs of 1910 produced some strange sports stories. But here comes the most amazing of all. A story that began in that same year in St. Paul, Minnesota. One day, back in that year in 1910, in St. Paul, Minnesota, a boy named Bill Purdy entered the room of his friend, Carl Beck, and he said,
Carl, hey, look. A music publishing company here in Minnesota is offering $100 to anybody who can write the best college song for the University of Minnesota. Minnesota is my alma mater. What do you say we write that song?
So Bill Purdy and his friend Carl Beck sat down to write a song for the University of Minnesota. They did write a song that's since become very famous. For you see, the song they wrote that day for the University of Minnesota has since become famous as On Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, one's right to that line.
Well, that's the story of an amazing year in which we heard
Let Me Call You Sweetheart.
Introduced by baseball's immortal Christy Mathewson.
The Maine Stein Song.
A song for the University of Maine that never became popular until it was sung by a Yale man.
Anchors Away.
The Navy song that was written by a man who served in the Army.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Composed by a man who, believe it or not, had never seen a baseball game. And finally, a song that was written for the University of Minnesota, only to become On Wisconsin.
Fight, fellows, fight, and we will win this game.
Portrait of the Past. Real four, tonight, since we're broadcasting from Dallas, Texas, here's the best in the Southwest, Wed Howard.
If you're looking for smooth, comfortable shaves, here's a proposition made to order for you. There's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash, and here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds and softens and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. There's no matting down, there's no clogging. The razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless. Instead, it cuts through clean and smooth.
Give Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream a trial. See how this light, fine-textured cream does away with razor scrape. Gives you really smooth, clean, comfortable shaves. Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless tomorrow.
Remember, if 1 week's use doesn't convince you that Colgate Brushless is the shave of shaves, send us the carton top and we'll mail you $1 back at once. Address Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey. Now, how's about it? There's $1 cash says that Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the 3-0 mark for tonight. Tonight, we've been broadcasting from Dallas, Texas, getting ready to broadcast tomorrow's all-important football game between Texas Christian and Southern Methodist. Next week, we'll be back same time, same stations, broadcasting from Birmingham, Alabama. And from Birmingham, our guest next Friday night will be the former heavyweight champion of the world, Primo Carnera. See you then. Until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreels at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters.
And Donald, next Friday night, at this same time, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night from Dallas, Texas.
Bill Stern, the Colgate-Shapley man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate-Shapley man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports heroes, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Tomorrow night, hear Colgate's Hour of Fun. Hilarious Judy Canova, followed immediately by A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Two laugh-packed half hours tomorrow night over NBC. The Bill Stern Show tonight came from New York and through the facilities of WFAA Dallas, Texas. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That was the Bill Stern Sports Newsreel from 1948. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you'd like featured on the program, send a request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, check us out on Facebook and X. And if you happen to be looking for an antique radio, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, VANB2EK. You'll find some great sets available. Now I've got a movie promotional disc. This goes back to 1939. It's Paramount on the Air, featuring Man About Town, the Jack Benny film, with Jack appearing on the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Don Wilson taking you backstage in Hollywood for a preview peek at the songs and antics in Jack Benny's new Paramount picture, Man About Town. The setting is London, where we find Jack Benny surrounded by 50 delicious girls in 6 beautiful flavors. But the girl Jack wants for his 7th special flavor, and who can blame him, is giving Phil Harris a break. It's Dorothy L'Amour, and she and Phil are on the stage rehearsing that sentimental sandwich, the song hit by Frederick Hollander and Frank Lesser. Cozy in a corner, Dorothy and Phil are repeating with their eyes what they're saying in the song, while poor Jack watches them, squirming with jealousy in the best Benny manner.
I'm hungry for something, but it seems so far away. That sentimental sandwich that we shared one day. You're hungry for something. Nothing fancy, nothing new. One sentimental sandwich coming up for two. Gee, we were poor, and though fate has changed our scenery, gee, the allure of that broken down old beanery. We're hungry for something, not for lobster, not for wine. That sentimental sandwich that was yours and mine.
Jealousy, that green-eyed monster. Jealousy, especially where Phil Harris is concerned, starts Jack Benny on his Casanova career in London. Jack's the man about town, the man about town. At least he wants to be. So Jack wangles a meeting with a mysterious Lady Arlington, accepts an invitation to spend a weekend at her country home, and takes Dorothy L'Amour and Phil Harris along to prove to them that he is really a man about town. But poor Jack forgets to find out whether or not Lady Arlington is married.
I have never been in a spot like this in my life. And all because you had to blow your mouth off.
Me? What did I say?
You practically said that no woman was safe if I was anywhere in the vicinity.
It was really you that said that. I just repeated it.
And to whom did you repeat it? To him? To her husband? Maybe you can lie out of it. Tell Sir John that there's never been anything between you and Lady Arlington.
What do you mean, lie? Are you implying that there has been anything between us?
Well, I thought you...
Oh, said... never mind what I said. I hardly know the woman. And what right she have to call me up anyhow? She knew she was married.
It's blackmail.
Blackmail?
Of course. Her husband is probably in cahoots with her.
Black settles it.
What are you doing?
Getting out of here. That's what I'm doing.
Can't do that, Bob. If you run out now, you're admitting you're guilty. Then when Arlington kills you, there's no jury in the world who'll convict him.
Well, if Arlington kills me, I really won't care whether they convict him or not.
Don't lose your nerve, Bob. We'll bluff it out.
Yeah, how can we bluff it out with everything you've said?
I don't know what I've said. I've said so many things.
Yeah, and the most important thing you said was that the girl was going to be here tonight at this party.
All right, there'll be a lot of people here. Pick out a girl, play up to her. Arlington doesn't know what girl we're talking about.
Pick out a girl, eh? Well, with my luck, she'll be married, and then her husband will kill me, too. No matter how you figure it, I'm a dead pigeon.
Let's leave poor Jack somewhere between the frying pan and the fire while we listen to a really great number played by Matty Malnick and his orchestra. It's that jitterbug frenzy, Fidgety Joe, sung for you by still another girl that Jack would love to date, and who wouldn't, Betty Grable.
There's a man that hangs around the bandstand all night long. He's wacky, he's goofy, he's dizzy. He goes slightly crazy when they play his favorite song. Who is he? I ask you, who is he? It's Fidgety Joe. Doesn't care to dance or sing, but when those swing cats start to swing, he's beating out the rhythm blow by blow. That's Fidgety Joe. Shakes his head from side to side when Mr. Trumpet takes a ride. Don't ask him what he's doing, he don't know. He says music sends him out of his head, but there's nothing that sends him home to bed. He's the whole show. Can't read notes, he's not that smart, but he knows every lick by heart. The great Stokowski of the second row. There he sits, throwing fits over all the latest hits. Whoa, Fidgety Joe.
Give Jack a chance to get himself out of this fix. Whom can he turn to for aid but his worst friend and severest critic, his favorite valet, his chief cook and bottle washer, Jack Benny's special getter out of trouble, Rochester. And here's Jack calling Rochester on the long distance phone.
Hello? Yeah, this is me, boss. Is that you? How are you making out at the party?
I'm making out fine. I'll tell you all about it when I get back. But right now, you've got to do something for me. Get the car and bring one of those showgirls up here.
Well, I sort of planned on using the car myself.
Oh, I just hate to ruin your weekend, Rochester, but I need the car, and besides, it happens to be mine.
Well, it also happens to be out of gas.
Out of gas? Well, it was full when I left.
Yeah, I know. But them termites will drink anything.
Never mind about the termites. Now get one of those showgirls and drive up here as fast as you can.
Well, I don't know if I can get a hold of one of them showgirls, boss. You know, you told them they could have the night off.
Well, say I've changed my mind. Say there's a special rehearsal. Say anything. But get the girl.
Okay, boss, I'll try.
Don't say you'll try, Rochester. You've got to do it. It's a matter of life and death.
Is you in the jam, boss?
I certainly is in a jam. And if you don't hurry out here, it might be too late.
You know, you're giving me a terrible case of curiosity. Don't you want to give me no hint, even?
Yes, I'll give you a hint. Unless you're here with a girl inside of an hour, you're fired. You want a better hint than that, do you?
No, sir.
Oh, in Rochester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bob.
Put back that cigar.
Rochester rushes up to Lady Arrington's country home with a whole troop of girls. And then the fun really starts. And it doesn't end until Jack puts on the biggest show of his career, with scores of the most beautiful girls that Hollywood has ever put on the screen. Here's one of the hit songs of the show. Dorothy L'Amour with an exciting chorus of 100 voices singing Strange Enchantment.
Strange enchantment fills the moonrise. There's a breeze like sandalwood and wine. Strange enchantment lies in your eyes, saying, please, oh please, tonight be mine. When the moon has gone in the blue dawn, and we go wandering upon, darling, I'll be dreaming of this moment with a strange enchantment in my heart.
When the moon is gone by tomorrow's
Jack Benny ever get to be a man about town? Does he ever satisfy that great ambition to be known from Broadway to Mayfair as Beau Brummel Benny? Well, you know Jack as well as I do, folks, but I'll give you a little hint. The following people are working against him: Dorothy L'Amour, Edward Arnold, Binnie Barnes, Monty Woolley, Isabel Jeans, Phil Harris, Betty Grable, E.E. Clive, the Mary Labbitt Dancers, Matty Melnick's Orchestra, and the Pena Troupe. The only one who's trying to help him is his Sunday evening pal, Rochester. And you know how much help Rochester gives Jack. You'll see the whole gang soon in Paramount's picture, Man About Town. This radio preview of Man About Town was produced in the Paramount Studios in Hollywood. This is Don Wilson speaking.
Paramount on the Air from 1939. Up next, we've got Harry James' Chesterfield Show. This goes back to June 9th of 1943.
For your smoking and listening pleasure, it's Chesterfield time. The cigarette with the right combination of the world's best cigarette tobaccos brings you the sensational trumpet of Harry James.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. This is Harry James inviting you to light up and join us for the Wednesday edition of Chesterfield Time. Before we call in Helen Forrest to start us off, just a reminder that a card to Chesterfield, Box 21, New York City, will bring you a photo of your favorite music maker. And now here's Helen to sing, I Don't Want Anybody at All.
have you. I'll just wait until I hear your call. No one else will do. And if you never phone, I guess I'll be resigned. My heart is all made up, and it won't change its mind. No, I don't want anybody at all. If I can't have
Well, from the advanced sales folks, we know you're anxious to get your record of the swell tune that we feature tonight in the Chesterfield special spot. Well, Harry says it'll be out before very long, and so to keep you from getting too impatient, here it is, just as you'll hear it on that record, Cherry. This is Mel Allen, ladies and gentlemen. And right here, Harry wants me to tell you about an interesting Kentucky gentleman who owns one of the biggest tobacco auction houses in the world. You know, when you're down in tobacco land and meet leading tobacco people, you're bound to be impressed by two things. One is their pride in raising and handling fine tobacco. And the other is the many years they've been doing business with Chesterfield. Smoke Chesterfields, friends. They really satisfy.
Thanks, Mel. And now you'll hear from Johnny McAfee, who sings You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To.
You'd be so nice
to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire, under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and
each week, our sponsors, the makers of Chesterfields, send a million of their satisfying cigarettes to the boys overseas. It's their way of saying hello and good luck. And each time we're on the air for Chesterfield, we like to play one of the favorite tunes of the gang over there. Tonight, it's Somebody Loves Me, sung by Buddy Marino.
Somebody loves me, I wonder who, I wonder who she can be. Somebody loves me, I wish I knew, who she can't be just worries me. For every girl who passes me, I shout, hey, hey, maybe you were meant to be my loving baby. Somebody loves me, I wonder who. Maybe it's you. Every girl who passes me, I shout, hey, hey, maybe you were meant to be my loving baby. Somebody loves me, I wonder who. Maybe, maybe it's you.
Thank you.
And now before we say goodnight, folks, here's just a reminder that we'll be back tomorrow at the same time with the Chesterfield special, Daybreak, and Chesterfield's own victory special for the boys overseas, a grand gift of 1 million Chesterfields every week, free to them with Chesterfield's compliments. And now for Helen, Johnny, Buddy, Corky, and all the boys, this is Harry James saying goodnight, and for good smoking, swing to Chesterfield's.
That was Harry James from 1943. To close out our musical portion, we've got a Bing Crosby show, one of his 15-minute shows with Buddy Cole and the trio and Ken Carpenter. This is program number 394 as broadcast on May 24th, 1956 over CBS Radio.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
We've got something in common, you and I. It's as fresh as rain and plain as apple pie.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is going to be sort of Operation Jazz Band here. Little Dixieland going for us. At least, that's the instrumental combination that Buddy Cole has chosen to augment things musically tonight. What do we say we try one, Buddy?
Who's that coming down the street? Who's that looking so petite? Who's that coming down to meet me here? Stand clear, you hear? Who's that, you know who I mean? Sweetest who you've ever seen? I could tell her miles away from here. Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, I don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
Yes, ma'am.
We've decided, no, ma'am, we won't hide it. Yes, ma'am, you're invited now. By the way, when we reach that preacher, I'll say, with feeling, yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, I don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. That's my baby. No, sir, but don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. Well, 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 look at that baby. Do tell, don't say maybe. Nell's bells, won't she cause some row? Pretty soon, pretty grabbing soon, we're gonna hear Mr. Lohengrin's tune. With about six fiddles, who for should she be, sir? No one else but me, sir. Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
Well, Ken, I certainly hope tonight that we've got some horse players among our listeners.
Why? You've got a tip on next year's Kentucky Derby?
Not yet. See me about come next May.
Next May, I'll
First
be there.
First part of May, I'll have something real hot for you. But tonight, I do wish to present the Crosby Award for Unusual Intelligence and Self-Control at a Racetrack.
The Crosby Award for Unusual Intelligence and Self-Control at a Racetrack?
Yes, I have quite a little plaque here that I'm going to lay on somebody.
Well, it sounds interesting. What do you have to do to win this award? Spend an afternoon at a track without taking any money along?
No, you have to play to win my award. You got to bet.
Who wins the award tonight?
A Madam X is the winner. Madam X or Miss X, as the case may be.
This is getting pretty fascinating here. Why the mysterious X designation?
Well, I tell you, I don't know the lady's name. So naturally, not knowing the lady's name, the award will have to be presented in absentia.
Absentia, huh? Well, just what did this lady do to be singled out for this great honor?
Well, actually, the award is presented for what she did and also for what she didn't do.
It's kind of complicated.
I'll proceed to explain. The other day, you see, a lady picked 5 out of 6 winners down at the Caliente racetrack.
Oh, man, she had 5 out of 6 winners at Caliente?
She used a table fork, I think.
Oh, that's the whole
But
system.
She did it, and by selecting all of those winners, she grabbed herself over $7,000 in the betting pool.
She won over $7,000 in one afternoon?
The lady grabbed 7 G's.
But you don't even know her name.
She declined to give her name. That's how she wins my award.
Oh, for unusual intelligence and self-control at a racetrack.
Yeah, huh? I figure like this, Ken. Unusual intelligence and picking all those winners. That's pretty sharp,
isn't it? Certainly is.
And considerable self-control for not taking a bow.
Oh, considerable is right.
You'd be bowing and scraping yet, wouldn't you?
Why, it'd be almost impossible to keep quiet under those circumstances. Can you imagine Joe Frisco?
Oh, he'd carry on. He'd take an ad in Variety and everything. But this lady, now, there's a lady who had real restraint, nerves of steel. And that brings up, I believe, a very important point in horseplay.
What's that?
To be successful, you've just got to keep your trap shut.
Mm-hmm. The silent horse player is the successful horse player, huh?
You bet. I know some of those old gyp trainers don't even tell their wife when they're going to run a horse they think can win. If you think you got a winner, you just have to keep your mouth shut so the word doesn't spread and beat the price down.
Yeah.
And when you win a big bet, oh, keep quiet then, too. By all means, don't give anybody your name.
Remain anonymous, is that
by
it?
By all means. By being anonymous, you are tax-free. Did that
occur
to you?
Oh, clever. This woman knew what she was doing.
Both before and after the races, this girl knew what she was doing.
She sure did.
They say women are talkative. How about that?
Oh, well, they can be very quiet if there's enough money in it.
Of course, this lady may not have had just the tax man in mind when she declined to give her name at the track.
Well, who else could she have been ducking?
Well, when a gal comes into a lot of money suddenly, there are all sorts of people to be wary of.
Oh, sure, that's right. They're fortune hunters.
Mm-hmm. Fortune hunters, gigolos.
Salesmen, hangers-on.
Mm, husbands, all sorts of newfound friends.
An old husband you haven't seen for some time.
Been on the lam, he'll show up and want a little
cut. He'll be there.
You can beat the horses on occasion, Ken, but hard to beat newfound friends.
It's almost impossible, I guess.
Girl just can't be too careful.
No.
Anyhow, continued good fortune. It's what I want to wish our mysterious lady, who is such a big winner at Caliente. And when she gets ahead, she knows how to be silent, and she's going to stay ahead.
And she is the winner without question of this year's Crosby Award for Unusual Intelligence and Self-Control at a racetrack.
Yes, I may even put a cluster of maple leaves around
bars,
it. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I think so, with cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a song now for the lucky lady, whoever she may be and wherever she may be.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. I never mind the rain from the skies if I can find the sun in your eyes. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am, so what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you. Sunny disposition depends on you. I never mind the rain from the skies if I can find old Saul in your eyes. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you,
But when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am, so what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you.
Every place Ted Lewis appears, and every place he has appeared for, lo, these 40 years, the audiences clamor for this ballad that I'm going to essay now, just around the corner.
Every day, skies seem gray, sun won't shine for you. Every dream, every scheme, seems to go wrong too. Bluebirds fly through the skies, still you look in vain. Play your part, don't lose heart. Sunshine follows rain. Just around the corner, maybe sunshine for you. Just around the corner, skies above may be blue. Keep a little smile on, that's the right thing to do. And in a little while, your troubles, they will disappear like bubbles. Just around the corner, there's a bluebird on high, waiting on a rainbow in the sky. Why? Even though it's dark and cloudy, sun may peep through and say howdy. Just around the corner for you.
Good night, folks. This is Bing Crosby. Closing up, ringing down the curtain, hanging the flap back on. Got to fade. Been a fast 15 for me. I hope you liked it. I hope you were amused or entertained, because I enjoyed it very much. Tune in again, huh? Every night of the week, same time, same station. Every night except Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Goodbye.
The Bing Crosby Show was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. This is Ken Carpenter wishing you a pleasant good evening.
Joe, go.
And just enough time to say I'm Greg Van Beek. So long for now.